It's been requested that, council has requested that change of zone number 1764, Coastal Club LLC, be brought up as old business. And for the record, this is the application of Coastal Club LLC, an ordinance to modify condition number 1, 4, 13, and 17, imposed on ordinance number 1770 for change of zone number 1554, the application of Marine Farm LLC for the Coastal Club, a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community, and to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for a 13.425 acre portion, more or less, of the property. 911 address not available, tax map ID being District 334, Map 11, Parcel 5, Parcel 395, and Parcel 396. Again, in your packet, you received a copy of the report and recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I don't think that you want me to read this whole recommendation since you've had the opportunity to review it. And it was previously submitted to council. It's about 6 or 7 pages.
No, you better read all that. We've got a copy of it.
And you already have it before you.
Yes,
and
sir.
It actually comes out to recommendations for certain sections of those ordinance references to be approved with amendments, and also a portion of the 13.425 acre portion to not be downloaded from MRRPC to MR. It's all part of the record.
Okay. More?
Yes. What I would propose, because this is very lengthy, is that I would read the short title, and then after that, follow the same format that Planning and Zoning did with the reasons that Planning and Zoning gave.
So the last at the bottom of all this testimony we have here from Planning and Zoning, so it'll be the end where they made their final.
Well, they made their motions in separate motions,
okay,
because each of the items were separate. And I'll go through each one after we do the short title.
I'm just trying to find out what page. These pages are numbered, so if you could tell us what page you're reading.
It would start on page 7.
7? Okay.
I think I'm correct.
If that's all right, 7?
Okay. It's an ordinance to modify condition numbers 1, 14, 13, and 17 imposed on ordinance number 1770 for change of zone number 1554, the application of Marine Farm LLC for the Coastal Club, a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community, and to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying in being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for 13.425 acres, more or less, portion of the property. Now I will go through each one, and Mr. Lank, if you kind of follow through to make sure I'm not missing any. The first, it would be a motion number one to modify conditions number 4 and 17A of ordinance 1770, and you would move to amend the conditions number 4 and 17A of ordinance number 1770 for the reasons 1 through 6 and the change as stated by the Planning and Zoning Commission in its recommendation for approval in its submission to County Council. And Mr. Lank, I believe those are on pages 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And it would take a motion to move that we make those changes.
Okay. As your counsel.
Well, let me make sure I'm voting on it. It says, yeah. So the part where it says within 2 years of commencement of construction, is this like a synopsis of?
This is on the sewer.
We're not on this, okay.
Page 7?
I'm on page seven, okay.
Bottom of page six.
Starts on page six.
Okay.
Two-thirds of the top of page seven.
Yes, where it says sewer at the very top on page seven, and it's in italics, that's the actual language being changed.
Where it says within 2 years of commencement, at the sole cost and expense, installation of, let's run back to streetlights again, wait, I'm at the wrong.
No, go to the top of page seven.
Okay, I'm going back up, it says a sewer.
Yes.
Okay, but go one above that, where it starts out on the middle of page six, where it says, Mr. Johnson moved to recommend the conditions for it, and 17A, and then one through six.
Number four, they want to remove.
What we're doing on this one. You lost it.
I just lost it, I hate this dumb machine. Keep spinning this, let me see if I got the right one, wait a minute, Mike. Now I'm on something else. Are you on it? Okay, here I am.
I have an extra hard copy set, Mr.
And then below that's the thing.
Mr. Cole, I'm sending Dan an extra hard copy set, if that's helpful.
Then I don't have, then I'll read.
Get Sam one too. Sam and I are old school. I'm Sam Wilson's twin brother.
Rob and I are young school.
My younger brother.
We're good. Young school.
So it takes a motion to change the first one on the sewer issue.
Okay.
So just real quick.
Page seven.
Bottom line is.
Can you give a synopsis, this Lawrence?
Yeah, just a synopsis each time.
What this is doing.
Right.
I'll pay my little resident.
So I don't.
I'm sorry.
I'll tell my little resident. The reference is that Mr. Johnson wanted to move that the commission recommended modification of these two numbers, being condition number four and condition number 17A. And there was five reasons stated as to why. And then number six was that he recommended that condition 17A be modified based on the developer's request and the county engineering department's recommendation, which would be a sewer, and there's one, two, three.
All that stuff, okay.
Four paragraphs in italics.
So basically.
And the motion is to recommend that portion be approved.
Which is at the sole cost and expense of the developer, they will put in sewer, a sewer collection system for that community.
Right, and it makes reference within 3 years of commencement of construction.
Right, then they got a time for, okay, all right, I understand, okay.
And the people there are not mandated to connect to it.
Correct.
Correct.
Right.
It's a voluntary thing.
Okay.
But they can, if they're asked by the community, they can, they can do it.
They can hook up at no charge.
Correct.
But they're not required to do that.
I understand.
No requirements.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Charlie, you had something?
Yes, sir. They're not required, but I mean, 5 years from now, they decide to change their mind. I mean, is there a timeline? I'm trying to read that in here. Is there expectations from the residents of Jimtown as it relates to whereas they have to make a decision?
I mean, an end date.
Correct.
Because the developer could have this developed and gone.
Right. There's two dates that are critical.
Which is what I'm looking for here.
There's a 3-year end date for the developer to install sewer. I'll just use generic terms.
Complete, right.
That completion date is May 22nd, 2017. And then there is a 3-year window whereby the developer is allowing for the, I guess, we should say, the residents, if they choose to connect, would not be required to pay system connection charges for the first 3 years. After that 3-year window tolls, if they choose to connect, they must then pay the system connection charges.
So basically, they have to 2020.
36 months.
2020.
You have 3 years or 6 years?
It says.
Well, I'm assuming it's
3 years to get the thing installed and 3 more years to hook up to it.
So it's total 6 years?
Correct.
That the benefits accrue to this community, okay.
So I have another question. So if we're talking about installations, we can run the line down, but not everyone wants to hook up. Are we talking about that, or everybody would hook up?
What they're talking about is putting a line in the road,
right,
in the street.
Just the line.
With laterals,
yes,
for each property.
Yes.
And if that person chooses, right, to hook up to the county sewer, they can do it in that time frame.
Right.
And it's for free to hook up.
And it's individual decision.
Yes.
Got it.
So you could have two property owners, one do it and six don't want to do it. That's fine.
That's right. Thank you.
So they got to 2021.
Now, let me.
Or whatever it is, 17.
Let me be very clear. As the way that planning zoning approved this, the language says, within 3 years from the date of substantial completion of the sewer system. So at that point, they have 3 years as deemed by the substantial completion of the sewer system to connect free of charge or at the developer's expense, free of charge to the resident.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's very good.
We had to put in a trigger date so that did not continue.
Can't be open.
Mr. President?
Charlotte.
Quick question, and that is it in here, my concern, I guess, if you would, as it relates to the disclosure, you know, timeline, because I don't want a resident who would want one or not want one not be aware of it. So in other words, is the developer on the hook to have confirmation that the resident has received notification of what this is? I mean, is that somewhere in writing, whereas they have got to provide proof of reaching out to the resident and that they're on record one way or the other?
You're talking about a motion to try to get these people notified that there are these dates, these important
absolutely.
Dates.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely. It's really critical.
All right, the question would be then, how many people are we talking about in total residents probably?
20? 20 plus properties.
20 plus property. Okay. I would just make a motion instead of maybe it would be put the onus on the county, but let the county notify, send documentation that this is what the time frame is, and we notify them. So that way we're 100% sure that those people are notified.
We could send them a copy of the ordinance once it's adopted.
Okay. Right.
And
so that would be my suggestion at the end of this effort that we make a motion for the county to notify property owners of this. The result of this
that is the cleaner way to handle
this legislation, right?
Sure. That's important.
Yeah,
that's
very important.
Okay, so we're still waiting for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the modified conditions for number 4 and 17A of ordinance number 1770.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Mm-hmm. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
My vote is yes. I agree with what. Planning and Zoning has found, and that's my vote. Yes.
Cole.
I support Planning and Zoning's recommendations, yes.
Mr. Arlett.
I support Planning and Zoning's recommendation set forth from really 10 years ago, I think the original deal, if I'm not mistaken. So I think this is a good finality to this.
Mr. Wilson.
My vote is yes, according to P&Z, with P&Z.
I also agree with P&Z's findings and recommendations. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next one is a motion number 2 to modify condition 17C of ordinance number 1770. I'd be looking for a motion to amend condition 17C of ordinance number 1770 for reasons 1 through 6 as stated by planning and zoning recommendation, which number 6 also has the new language. And that is, this motion is concerning the street lights and the 2-year period.
Pleasure, Council.
Again, the synopsis is they're going to get the street lights in 2 years?
Within 2 years of May 23rd, 2014.
That's
okay,
correct.
Even though number 1 says, if desired by the residents?
This is of the original approval required streetlights, but only if desired by the residents of Jimtown. I believe that's what you're reading.
I'm reading that.
Right.
And
so
this is part of the reasons that planning and zoning gave for their modification.
Okay, so in other words.
And there was a vote taken.
Right.
And
yes.
There was the positive vote for the streetlights, correct?
Okay, so I'm just saying, even though that's, okay, that's fine.
Yes.
I just want to make sure it's clear.
Yeah, they're just establishing a history.
That's fine. That's good.
The amendment would be the in italics.
Gotcha.
Yes, on 6, on the very last page.
Under 6, right.
Right.
Pleasure, Council.
We make a motion we adopt.
Well, I have a quick question.
But sorry, let's make a motion first. Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Question, Mr. Arlett.
Yes, Mr. President, and that is, Mr. Link, again, I want to confirm, I'm not seeing it in here. What I'm reading here is that the developer. Let's see, all street light, I'm quoting this, all street light rental or service charges for these street lights only will be borne by Coastal Club LLC, its successors or assigns. What about the monthly electric bill as it relates to these street lights? Who is responsible for that?
No.
I'm not seeing that in, unless I'm missing something. Is that referenced in here?
It should be the same as a service charge.
Rental service charges.
That's covered that last sentence.
Right. I'm just, is a service charge the same thing as the bill? I mean, that could be construed as not being.
It's not hooked into anyone's house, so there's no bill going to the individuals there.
I'm just saying, if the developer says it doesn't say that.
Do you choose to modify it, sir?
I would think we need to have the language in here where it's very clear that they're responsible for the monthly electric expense, the monthly bill for the residents. Just to be very clear, very clear.
To add to that, we have our own security light out front. We pay for it. And so
sure.
You're right.
Okay. If you choose to give us a recommendation for a motion to amend what they recommend.
I would make a recommendation to amend to include that the developer successors or assigns or will be responsible and shall pay all electric expenses associated with these streetlights.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Could I possibly modify that? On the next to the last sentence, it says streetlight rental, add a comma, take out the word or, then service charges, comma, or any electric expense. Is that suitable?
If that suits Mr. Arlett.
I would just say any and all expenses, period.
So if they shoot out the lights, then...
Well, they're responsible for them. I mean, in the end,
who pays?
That's the point. The developer is responsible for all expenses associated with these lights.
How many years?
Ever.
Forever.
Absolutely. Because that was the original arrangement and agreement 10 years ago, to my knowledge.
Just clarifying. Right.
So I just want very specific language in here, whereas there's no wiggle room. It's very clear. All associated expenses with these streetlights will be responsible to that of the developer.
Good deal. Wow.
The way I read this, I might misread it, but it says the sole cost and expense of Marine Farms LLC will engineer and install 80 sanitary source system and lights.
That's just verified.
It's already in language.
He's just making sure when
Mr.
you're
Mr. Moore, would you read one more time the amendment?
The next guy can read it.
Additionally, comma, all street light, comma, rental, comma, service charges, comma, or any other related expenses for these streetlights only will be borne by Coastal Club LLC, its successors or assigns.
Do we need to make an amendment?
We need to have a motion for the amendment.
I'll make that motion. We amend.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the amendment? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I like the amendment. It gives further information. Thank you very much.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Moore, if you'd read the...
The amended motion would be, I move to amend condition 17C of ordinance number 1770 for the reasons 1 through 5 as stated by Planning and Zoning Commission, and number 6, which shall be modified as amended.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, in accordance with Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is motion number 3 to modify condition 17D of ordinance number 1770. And this one is concerning the sidewalk expense, and it indicates within 3 years of the commencement of construction, May 23rd, 2014, Coastal Club LLC, at its sole cost and expense, shall provide a sidewalk within the Jimtown Road right-of-way on the northeast side of Jimtown Road from the existing bridge over Gosley Creek to the intersection of Jimtown Road and Beaver Dam Road in accordance with the approval of DelDOT and the Sussex Conservation District. And we would make the motion that for the reasons stated by Planning and Zoning 1 through 8 with the change of condition in number 9.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions?
I have a question. Deaver. Does that get assigned to someone else? to the people who live there? You know, if the developer goes out of business or what, that liability there.
What?
Sure. If the developer goes out of business.
If the developer goes out of business.
Right.
Well, I would assume nothing happened then.
Then it just plain stops.
If the developer's out of business, there's nobody to enforce it, certainly.
I'm asking.
Yeah.
Doesn't go to the board of, you know, the.
There's no association there that I'm aware of. It's not a incorporated community. So, you know, I'm not sure about the ownership. It is going either, I'm not sure if it's in the right-of-ways or private frontage of some of the lots. Mr. Lank, is it in the right-of-way?
It's subject, it was originally intended to be on private property. It's not, still up to negotiations with whether or not it's in the state right-of-way or whether it's on private property.
Okay.
So there were some disagreement. That was a disagreement. The biggest thing in disagreement was on site.
Right.
Okay.
So we have this motion.
Have a motion.
Mm-hmm.
And a second. Question. Any more questions on a motion? Mr. Arlett.
I just, again, because this is a little bit unique situation, that's why I'm asking these extra questions here, and that is the developer would be installing these sidewalks at their expense. What happens if they get broken or damaged? Who is responsible for the maintenance and correction and repair of them?
That's a liability question.
I would say the property owner is. If it's on the property, if it's on state right away.
Right. In a normal scenario, we would know the answer, but in this specific situation, I don't know. And that's why I'm just curious.
If it's on private property and constructed, unless there's an easement, it would be on the property owner. If it's in the right-of-way, it would be on state.
Okay.
Short and it's still to be determined.
Short answer.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
DVD.
And I think
more question, Mr.
And just along with that, I think it's important that the disclosure piece. I mean, again, to ensure that each of these 20 residents fully understand their responsibility with as it relates to these sidewalks. If it's deemed to be on private property, in the end, they will be responsible for the maintenance and repair of them after they're installed.
If they're on their property, unless there's an easement or record that would be established to require the developer to be responsible, or if it doesn't stay right away, then DelDOT's responsible.
But I'm just saying, how do we be certain that the resident is fully aware of that?
There have been public hearings on this matter where the public has been fully informed and had an opportunity to participate in this. I'm not sure that we can, at this point, anticipate every possible thing that will happen without even creating more issues and more problems. You know, if you have sidewalks in town, there's been litigation concerning even if that sidewalk in town is in front of your house and you don't clean the snow off, that you could have some liability. So I don't want to be being in a position giving legal advice to the public concerning sidewalks that may be in front of their house. And I don't intend to in this case. So there is no way we can answer every question. And I think what planning and zoning attempted to do is take something that was a difficult decision and try to come up with some of the, after the public hearing and consultation and dealing with all the agencies, try to come up with a much better solution than was there before.
And if I've got it, Mr. President, then we, at this point, we don't even really have full agreement from the folks who live. Is that correct? At this point. Anyway, so I mean.
From the residents?
Mm-hmm.
Never will.
So it may or may not happen. Okay. And then I guess my concern is once you get into these details, some folks may think that we're much more involved than we really are. I mean, I don't want to drag us into that. Okay, thank you very much.
More questions? We'll take the vote on the motion. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, planning and zoning.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. I support planning and zoning's recommendation.
Mr. Arlett?
I shall also vote yes as it relates to the P&Z's recommendation.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on P&Z recommendation.
I also will agree with P&Z recommendation to vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next is motion number 4 to modify condition 1 of ordinance number 1770. We'd be looking for a motion to amend condition 1 of ordinance number 1770 for the reasons number 1 and 2 as stated by Planning and Zoning Commission. And it indicates that the maximum number of dwelling units shall not exceed 630, of which at least 412 shall be located on single-family lots. The 20 lots with roadway connection to Jimtown Road shall be eliminated. The roadway connection to Jimtown Road shall be, the roadway connection to Jimtown Road shall be eliminated.
Well, what we're actually, if I read this, what we're actually doing here, we're actually saying that the maximum number of units shall not exceed 630, as proposed originally. But now we've lowered the 432 that was in there, with the single family lots, to 400 right. and something less than that, haven't we?
That's a correct.
412.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We removed 20 single family lots, apparently.
That's correct.
Correct.
It eliminates the interconnection with the project to Jimtown Road.
Right.
And it thereby deleted 20.
Be right.
No interconnection.
No interconnection.
Pleasure
not
of council.
Not to Jimtown.
You read it?
Pleasure of council on that subject.
Yeah, I think we should move on for adoption.
Motion of Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson, to correct number 1 in ordinance 1770. Questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Caldwell?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The next one is motion number 5. And in this motion, that the planning and zoning denied this motion. We traditionally make all of our motions in the positive, and then if you just want to vote against that, you can just vote to deny. And this motion then for would be to I move that council approve removal of residential planned community overlay from 13.4 acres of land that was originally part of Coastal Club RPC ordinance number 1770. And in looking at this, the planning and zoning gave 6 reasons why they denied that. And those reasons, if you would like me to read,
I don't know why. I'd like to, yeah.
Okay. The area.
I know it is, but I need to be refreshed. Thank you. refresh my memory. Or just
they're
a synopsis.
They're on page 10.
Right.
That 10 and the top of page 11.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I understand. Okay. If it's too much.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So if you would vote no, that would be some reasons to vote no based upon planning and zoning's recommendation.
That's basically what they're saying here is the developer wants to remove the RPC overlay from that 13.4 acres.
Yes.
Because right. that was the land they were going to use for the private
sewer.
Septic.
Correct.
It's our sewer.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's going away. Now it's on county sewer.
Right. Uh-huh.
So they want to remove that.
Yeah.
And P&Z says, in my opinion, there's no justification to remove the designation.
Mr. President, my real interest is what's going to happen to that land. Yeah. What is the plan then? Does this answer that?
Well, I think it answers the fact that
in a way.
If we agree with planning and zoning and would devote this to defeat this, then that 13.4 acres stays in the RPC overlay.
That is correct.
And it could have houses on it, then, is what you're saying?
No, it was zoned open space for the sewer system.
Okay,
so that's all it is.
Yeah. I'm just following right. through so that I understand what the actual outcome it would be. Okay.
Any more questions?
No.
We'll entertain a motion.
I'll move for adoption.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole, to approve the suggested change. Now, when you vote on this, if you vote yes, you are removing it from the RPC.
That is correct.
If you vote no, you'd actually be agreeing with planning and zoning.
That is correct.
Okay. Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I'm voting no, along with planning and zoning.
Mr. Cole?
I think I'll stick with planning and zoning's recommendation for this community, and I'll vote no.
Mr. Arlett?
I did have one question as it relates to, I probably should have brought up before the two votes, but they wanted the rule, they wanted, yeah. is
too late.
Too late? Forget it?
Yeah. Well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I didn't ask for questions. Okay. I'm sure I did, but maybe I didn't ask for questions. So can we back up, Mr. Moore?
Yes.
We'll back up. Now more questions, Mr. Arlett.
I just, because again, we're talking about removal of the RPC. Removal from the RPC to what?
Stated MR.
MR.
It would still be MR, yeah. But it would not be a portion of the residential plan community.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was all the only mm-hmm. question.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions?
Which would not prevent the developer from sometime in the future to come back in and request a change for that
correct.
Piece of ground.
That is
but
correct.
That would be another public hearing, another application.
Yes.
Correct.
And we would be knowing what would be happening. So I would say that's available to
you're
the developer.
You're removing that portion of that 13 acres from the boundary of the residential
right.
plan community, and the developer could come in and apply to subdivide the
14 acres.
13 acres.
But at this point, what can the developer actually do? If we deny this.
Right now, it's a part of the RPC.
Right, okay.
It's open.
All right.
It stays a part of the RPC unless you act
right.
to allow it to be separated.
Okay.
A future
of that.
Any more questions? Mm-hmm. We'll back up now and we'll vote again. Mrs. Deaver.
Let me put it this way. I'm going along with. Now we're voting with planning and zoning.
So your vote's a no.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Mr. Cole,
I vote no and support planning and zoning's recommendation for denial.
Mr. Arlett.
After the clarification, I do agree with planning and zoning and will vote no.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote no. And the interesting thing I found was the change from marine farm to coastal.
You like that word, coastal?
I also vote no. Motion defeated. Next.
Okay, the last is motion number 6. Which is generally modifying ordinance number 1770 and to modify condition 13. Part of this is for the purpose of just clean up the name. It is it's been referenced as Marine Farm LLC. It should now be referenced as Coastal Club LLC. And also condition 13 regarding the Eagle Wildlife Habitat Conservation Area. And under the proposal here, it shall remain an open natural area in perpetuity, as indicated with our proposal number 2. So the motion would be to move to amend conditions 13 of the ordinance number 1770 and generally modify ordinance 1770 for the reasons 1 and 2 as given by Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mm-hmm. I'll make that motion.
Motion, second. Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the motion?
Again, this involves the eagle, the area that once was occupied by an eagle's nest. That's
right.
What we're talking about. So what are we doing then? Therefore, are we? I know there was a lot of discussion back and forth. Are we going to wait for the eagle to come back and that kind of thing?
What their motion read in here?
I just want to picture it.
A wildlife habitat area should remain open, natural area in perpetuity, with use limited to trails, other passive recreational uses. There should not be any residences, structures, pools, clubhouses,
right.
or similar amenities construct this area.
Okay, thank you. That just reiterates. Thank you very much.
More questions? We will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I comply.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, I support planning zoning's recommendation.
Mr. Arlett.
I too will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, and one last request that P&Z had, that there would be someplace the entire ordinance as amended be printed. We have prepared that for the office. Planning zoning placed all these amendments in that. Now I believe that we need to read the ordinance again as amended here.
Okay, Mr. Moore.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an AMR RPC. Excuse me, I'm reading the wrong short title here.
Too many papers.
Too many papers here. Where's the agenda? Looking. Here it is. Sorry. An ordinance to modify condition numbers 1, 4, 4, 13, and 17 imposed on ordinance number 1770 for change of zone number 1554, the application of Marine Farms LLC for the Coastal Club and a MRRPC medium density residential district residential planned community, and to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a MRRPC medium density residential district residential planned community to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, for a 13.425 acres more or less portion of the property as amended.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver, questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried.
Shoot.
Thank everyone. Thank you, Mr.
Lang. Thank you, very much. Thank you, sir.
A lot of work. Mr. Lawson, as Councilman Cole suggested a while ago, with all these things that have been changed, modified, we'll put some kind of document together that will go to all of the property owners, and they'll know exactly what's
We'll make sure it's done.
Thank you,
thank you very much.
I hope they don't get
their...
I hope they don't get their...
Jewel Gibbons.
Their, what do you call it? Their,